Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, welcome everyone. That's our new music, but it sounds like maybe we're having some technical difficulties because it sounded a little scratchy to me. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But hello, you are still at the right place at the right time. This is Readers Entertainment Radio, and this is our In Faith Network Radio show. And I am your host, Sheila English. And today we are celebrating Black History Month with some amazing writers who will certainly inspire you. First, please allow me to introduce my co-host and dear friend, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you very much, Sheila. You know, the theme of this show really takes it to heart for me, so I'm really looking forward to this evening.
And it's great to have you here with us. And for our listeners, you can chat live here with us at blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7. And we have the chat board up. You can call in if you'd like to call in, 646-200-4071. And I want to start out. We have a couple of amazing, wonderful guests, and this is going to be a really fun show. I'm going to start out by introducing Sheila Goss. And let me tell you a little bit about Sheila. She writes in multiple genres. She is the author of the Essence Magazine, Dallas Morning News, and Black Expressions bestseller, My Invisible Husband, and Roses Are Thorns, Violets Are True, Pages Web, Double Platinum, His Invisible Wife, Hollywood Deception, Delilah, which I believe just released in January, so that's pretty new, and then it looks like we have Savannah's Curse that's out this month. She's also the author of the young adult book series The Lip Gloss Chronicles, and that's with The Ultimate Test, Splitsville, and Paper Thin, her 10th novel, Delilah, which was released in January. And it's her first Christian fiction novel, which is really exciting. And I know Savannah's Curse is suspense, and we will talk a little bit about that as well. But I have to share some of the many accolades that Sheila has that she's accumulated through her writing career. She's been a number one BlackExpressions.com bestseller, Essence Magazine bestsellers list. She has been author of the year 2009 at EDC Creations for Lip Gloss Chronicles. And then this year, EDC Creations Top Books Award for Delilah. So, I mean, that's a pretty outstanding list, and I know there's even more to that list, and our listeners can find that at www.sheliagoss.com. That way, if you want to go take a look at that while we're talking, you can do that. Sheila, tell us about your first Christian novel. I want to know all about it.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. And I'm real excited about Delilah because, as you mentioned, it is my first Christian novel. And it's the first book in what I call my Bad Women of the Bible series. And I chose women to talk about in my series because from mere appearances, a lot of times some of the great men, you know, of the Bible, they try to blame the woman for their downfall. And even in today's world, sometimes other people try to blame others for their downfall. So I decided to use the women of the Bible as examples. And if you dig a little deeper, you'll realize that, you know, it wasn't the other person's fault for that person's downfall. It was because they made poor choices. So, and Delilah, she's my main character. She makes the mistake of falling in love with her pastor, Reverend Samson Judges. And Delilah hasn't had luck with men in the past, but she feels her luck has changed when she meets Samson. And in her eyes, Samson is perfect. He can do no wrong. And Delilah feels if he gives her the chance, she could prove to him that she's the woman for him. And she feels that Samson will eventually grow to love her. And she doesn't care that he's already engaged to marry someone else.
Oh.
Now there's yes, that's where the conflict comes in. And then there's Reverend Samson Judges. he was called a preacher at a very young age, but as some preachers may do before they actually accept their calling, he kind of ran from his calling until after he graduated from college. And during his college years, he would be what most of us would call a player. And once he did decide to dedicate his life to the Lord, he became celibate. And Samson feels that his relationship with God is so strong that he can withstand any form of temptation. Well, that is until he meets Delilah. And once he meets Delilah, Delilah's like temptation. There's so much temptation for him that he's having to deal more with his flesh. And both characters, Delilah and Samson, deal with deception in one form or another.
Wow. I love that. I think, you know, it's funny because I was just having a conversation, you know, you hear about, you know, couples that you meet at church who are splitting up and that, you know, there's been, you know, adultery or something like that going on. And you know, you realize that no matter how strong a Christian you are, that you're going to have those temptations, and sometimes they're going to be so overpowering. And, you know, it's always interesting to me to read books about, you know, very strong temptations, because you just wonder, you know, how would somebody who is a pastor deal with that? You know, it does. It makes me very curious as to, you know, how he's gonna deal with that. So it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, as people, we put ourselves in situations where we have an out, but we don't choose that out. We choose to go ahead and succumb to those temptations.
Now, tell me, your family, I mean, I'm reading all these accolades that you have, and, I mean, you've written, you know, in a lot of different genres. It looks to me like you're living the dream. Your family must be very proud of you. How do you feel about your success, and how do you feel about how your success affects those people who know and look up to you?
Well, I feel that I'm honored and blessed to have achieved the success that I have achieved in the past and currently achieving. But to me, I'm doing what I love to do. I love to write. I love to meet people. So I don't even allow that to stick in my brain, you know. So I'm always busy trying to write the next book or promote a book that I have coming out. I don't even look at the accolades like that. And my family, my mom, she says she's proud of me, which that means a lot. And I'm pretty sure my family is, but everybody treats me the same, so I don't get any special type of treatment.
So you have all these readers that are fans, and they contact you, and they're, you know, I know as a reader, when I contact an author and they contact me back, I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, you're so excited. And then you have your family come in and they're like, yeah, that's nice, you know. But I'm sure your family's very proud of you. And like you said, having your mom be proud of you, that's, you know, that's always nice too. I'll tell you, it's Black History Month. How are you celebrating?
Well, I'm celebrating by participating in African American Read-In that's going to be sponsored by Remington College, and the purpose of it is to support African American literacy, and they wanted to have a couple of local African American authors come out and speak at the event. So it'll be myself along with another author, Sheila Jackson, in the Shreveport, Louisiana area. So I'm very honored and happy to be able to participate in that event.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, I'm just going to ask you, from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, which we all know, to Obama's Change Has Come speech, African Americans have a lot to celebrate, a lot to be proud of. How do you feel the whole evolution of how African Americans are viewed in our society today has affected you personally?
Well, I feel that, you know, overall that we've all come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. And I don't think people are actually viewing us differently just because we have a black president right now. I think people's views are basically based on their own interactions with people, you know, various races. And then some people may base their interactions on stereotypes portrayed in the media. But I think now people are more apt to deal with people on an individual level instead of trying to group them in just one stereotype.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Tell me, who is your personal hero? Who inspires you?
Well, it goes back to my mom. My mom is my personal hero because she showed me through faith and prayer and perseverance how to deal with the challenges of life. And she's actually the woman that I aspire to be. She's had to deal with a lot of different challenges over the years, and she's always shown me, like I said, through her actions. I've seen her prayer, like she lives the scriptures that she reads and the things that we study about. So she's my hero.
I love that. Now, talking about inspiring, now don't go anywhere, Sheila, because we're going to come back to you. I know Anita is going to talk to our next guest, but I just had to pipe in for a moment because this is just an author that I've had on the show before, actually, and very fun, and I know everybody's going to really enjoy meeting her, but I always, Pat, missay your name, but I'm going to give it a try. It's Pat Georgie Walker. Is that right?
Almost.
Oh, I know I have to be close. Say it for me.
George.
See, that has that little French-sounding lilt to it. George. Welcome to the show.
Thank
you. I want to get your URL out there. You have the funnest website. I'm just going to let everybody know. It's www.pat, P-A-T, it's G-O-R-G. Walker, walker.com, and when we post the blog, I'll make sure we have the links for Sheila and for Pat, so that it's really easy for everybody to go and find those websites. But your website always cracks me up because it has the picture of you in character
Sister Betty website is my comedy website.
That's the comedy one. Now I know your books are on there too. Do you have another website that we can go to?
Well, www.sisterbetty.com, and that's where you'll find all the comedy and the video clips and the audio and all the other crazy, churchy, zany, fun things that I do.
Oh well, you're gonna have to tell everybody about Sister Betty real quick.
Okay, Sister, oh my goodness. Sister Betty is the super saint that you aspire not to be. And Sister Betty, you know, is God's right-hand girl, according to her. And she's trying to turn around the members of the Ain't Nobody Right But Us, All Others Going to Hell Church. And her pastor is the Reverend Not Enough Money. And there's other characters like Sister I'm a Hellraiser and Mother Pray On and Deacon Laid Hands and Bishop Was Never Called. And they are the Christians that, you know, we're not supposed to be. But then there are a few that try to walk the walk. But it's a fun way, a humorous way of bringing people to Christ. Because if we say that, you know, we love God whom we've never seen, and yet we're always talking about each other, backbiting and hating one another, people that we do see, well, then we're liars. And God is not a man that he should lie.
Well, I went ahead and brought the sisterbetty.com up, and I'll make sure everybody gets to see that. Now, I see that you have up here, Don't Blame the Devil. And I love the cover, by the way. It's very intriguing cover. People have to go take a look at that. Tell me about the book.
Well, it's awesome that you would have Sheila Ghost on tonight because Sheila and I are the double Ds, Delilah.
Oh, that's right. I love it.
It just so happens that my main character in Don't Blame the Devil is also named Delilah.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize that.
And this particular Delilah is a middle-aged woman, senior citizen, so to speak, who in her early youth left her husband and put her two-year-old in foster care to pursue a recording and modeling career that didn't quite work out that well for her. And 40 years later, when her son, whom she hasn't, you know, had any communication with because they're estranged, loses his wife, Delilah decides, ah, that's the time I need to come right back and be a part of my son's life. But Delilah decides to tell God how she wants it done.
Oh.
Delilah has a plan.
And we all know that old saying, right? If you want to make God laugh, tell him what
just
your plan is.
Tell him what you're going to do tomorrow. That's
yeah.
it. And what I tried to do, using humor, which is, you know, my forte, is to show people of the relationship between a mother and son. We always talk about mothers and daughters, but we don't really focus on mothers and sons. And we're under the illusion that children always love their parents, and parents always love their children. And what happens when that's not the case? How does God bring all that back together? And secrets. You know, there's consequences to secrets. And, you know, stuff that you do in the dark is definitely coming out in the light, even if it takes 40 years.
Now, that's very intriguing. You know, I have a son, and I'm going to admit he's 25 years old, so I'm definitely well into my 40s. You know, you're right. You hear a lot about, you know, mothers and daughters, but not a whole lot on mothers and sons. So this is very interesting, and it has your comedic touch to it as well.
Oh, definitely. I love to laugh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Well, let me see. To sum it up, I am a child of the King. I claim that foremost, and I try to live that as much as I can. That's why I'm so happy for grace and mercy and repentance, because I use that on a daily basis. But I'm a wife. I'm a mother of 3, grandmother of 14, and great-grandmother of 5. I'm a recording industry veteran. I once sang with a group called the Chantels, but you guys are too young to remember them. But we had hits like Maybe, The Plea, He's Gone, and songs of that nature. I'm also a Christian comedian. They call me Sister Betty. And Sheila, I must tell you this.
Uh-huh.
I am now a cancer survivor.
Oh, I didn't know.
Awesome. Yes, last year, 2009, I was diagnosed with cancer. And Sheila Ghost can tell you, I blogged about it every day on Facebook. I laughed. As a matter of fact, I laughed when they gave me the diagnosis. And I laughed so much, they didn't know whether to send me to a psychiatrist or an oncologist. I was cracking up. Because I'm thinking, okay, God, you know, come on now. You can do better than this, because this is nothing for you. And I laughed my way through it. I had surgery. I had no chemo,
wow,
no radiation. And when they went back through my medical records, they found out that actually in 1987, I had been diagnosed. But because I moved, nobody was able to find me and give me the diagnosis. So from 1987 to 2009, that cancer was in me, and God did not allow it to spread.
Oh, praise God. That gives me goosebumps.
That's why I have to laugh.
I love it.
Because I realized that it was never about me.
Yeah.
It was put on me so I could show other people how to go through it.
What a testimony. What an amazing testimony. Now tell me, how many books have you written?
Ooh, okay, I didn't know that question was coming up.
you could say a lot.
Maybe about 9 or 10. I'm trying to keep up with Sheila. It's hard.
Oh, I know. Yes, she's got a lot out there.
And one thing I love about Sheila Ghost is she never thinks twice about supporting another author.
Nice.
I love that about her.
We love that, and we're going to make sure that we send people over to her site and let people know about her wonderful books. So we were talking about her accolades earlier. It's like, I wanted to read them all. It's like, that's going to take half the show.
Well, whatever you read about Sheila, it's probably the same thing with me. You know, I'm on Essence quite a few times, on the Essence bestsellers list, Black Expressions bestsellers list. I was also awarded for given an award for creating the comedy genre for Christian fiction.
Oh,
I didn't know about that until published. I read it in Publishers Weekly.
Well, then it's got to be true if it's in PW.
Must be.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Now, I know that Anita has some questions for you, too, and I've been kind of stealing all the time. Anita, what do you have for us?
I would love to visit with Pat, and I want to see if I can pronounce this right, because I love your name. Is it Pat George Walker?
It sounds nice when you say that, but you're close.
I'm close? Okay. I guess I'll have to be good enough. But anyway.
And the name is actually Portuguese, but it's George. Do I want a G or a J?
Or a J.
Well, I love it. Anyway, okay, well, down to business. As you know, we're celebrating Black History Month and celebrating the accomplishments of successful people and authors like yourself, and so I have some questions about that.
Okay.
Over the years, I'd like to know who your heroes are. Who are your inspirations from the African-American community, Pat?
Well, my first hero would have to be my third grade teacher, Miss Madison in Williamson, South Carolina, who is still living to this day, who tells everybody that she's not surprised that I became a writer because I was the biggest liar that she had in the third grade. And I used to regale her with all these outrageous stories and swear up and down that they were true. And secondly, I would have to give Dr. Maya Angelou a great deal of credit. Back in the 70s, she spent about 5 minutes with me during the intermission of the Broadway play, The Wiz, and talked to me about writing because I blurted out, oh, I want to be a writer, you know. I was in such awe. And the one thing she told me, Anita, was to always be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me years to figure out what she meant by that. And it was very simple. Be true to your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be like anyone else.
Well, that is so true. Absolutely. That's outstanding advice, really.
And thirdly, all the readers and people that support me, I would love to throw my family in there, but I'm not. I'm like Sheila. They don't care.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No, wait.
Listen, Anita, when I get finished with this, I got to go cook.
No,
they do not understand who I think I am.
Now, tell me, Pat, who's Yolanda?
Yolanda Gore is a fabulous, fabulous young lady in South Carolina who God has placed upon her heart to promote so many of the authors. And for a long time, she was just all over the place. She'd read a book, she'd talk about it, read a book, talk about it, write about it, blog about it. And she is just phenomenal. And you don't often find people like that who don't want anything from you, but are just so happy to, you know, to help put you out there.
And well, I know. She is on the chat board, and she's making sure I know you have 9 books. Because she knew.
Okay. If you don't count the anthologies, all right.
And we have Adriana Turner, and looks like we have a few people who are here on the chat. So
okay.
I just wanted to interject that and let you know we have some people who are more than
those
happy
are my
to
stalkers,
talk.
You know.
Anita, I'm throwing it back to you.
I am desperate to ask this question because I have my own feelings about this, and I really want to know what you think, Pat. But how do you feel about the way African Americans are depicted in the movies and books? I mean, do you think that the Black experience is portrayed accurately?
No.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
Too
give,
many.
Give us a little more on that.
Okay. Oh, you want me to give you a little more?
Yeah.
It's so vast. It is. So vast, and that's why I have to laugh when I hear commentaries like, well, okay, Obama was voted for by the Black community because he was Black. Well, was Bush voted for by the white community because he was white? Not every Black person approves or agrees with Obama. Although I love him, but I don't always agree with him. I'm happy for him. Secondly, I'll put myself out there. My grandchildren are so mixed. I have Puerto Rican grandchildren, Dutch grandchildren, British grandchildren, I'm sorry, great-grands, Jamaican, Indian, all kinds. I am surrounded by people who are so, they have so much to them that I cannot find anyone who is just one way or another. And as far as how it's being portrayed, I don't think that they can do it. I'm not going to down the way that some of the characters are portrayed. I think there's an effort put forth, but you can't take that as gospel.
Right.
You have to take it for as entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. That's an interesting insight.
Anita, we're down to like 4 minutes. Let's
go
for the round robin.
Okay,
question.
Let's go straight for that round robin. I'm sorry we have to cut this short because I was really enjoying this. But we do have a round robin on our show, and this is where both of you, I ask you the same question. And so we will start back with Sheila. And so what do you feel like is the greatest challenge for African-American Christian authors, Sheila?
Well, I'm new to the genre, so I'm probably not the person to ask, but it's probably one of the same things that affects all the other genres. Basically, just getting the word out about our books and making sure that they get not just in the African-American hands, but in any reader who loves good books hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pat, we'll take that right over to you. The same question, what do you feel like is the greatest challenge for African-American Christian authors today?
Well, it's definitely PR and marketing. But I'm like Sheila. I think if we all just jump in and help one another, like Sheila and I will talk about each other's books to other people. Go in bookstores. Point out other people, you know, other authors' books. It's not going to take anything away from you. We also have to be more kinder to one another,
mm-hmm.
whether you're African-American or not. Authors need to be more kinder to one another. They're so competitive out there that you might have a tendency to downplay or be snarky. That's not the way to go.
Oh, I
right.
love that answer, Pat. That's a good
one
too.
I do, too. And I love the perspectives that you know that you both bring to the show. And unfortunately, we're about down to 2 minutes. And just real quickly, I want to, Sheila, could you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Sure. I'm at www.SheilaGoss.com, and that's SheilaGoss, or you can find me also on Facebook.
And that's under your name as well on Facebook?
Yes, it's under Facebook.com/SheilaGoss.
All right. And Pat, what about you?
Same thing. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, the Sister Betty website, the Pat George Walker website. They can email me at pat248@aol.com, or there's other email addresses at the website. And I'd love to hear from it. And to all those in the chat room, from Sheila and myself, thank you. Thank you. From the other two Sheilas, Anita and me, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, and Anita, great questions as usual. Thank you. I want to thank all of you ladies, you too, Anita, for joining us here on Readers Entertainment.
It was an honor to be here, as always, Sheila.
Very nice. And hopefully I can get everybody to come back and when we have some new books coming out. And
I have two
new
books coming out.
Oh, you do? Well, we are going to have you come back. You're going to have to come back. And I'll make sure we're going to tip a pod. Mm-hmm. And put some links up there so that everybody can find you. I want to thank our listeners for joining, and everybody on the chat room, thank you so much. You can find our Christian In Faith show at www.infaithnetwork.com, and we'll have the follow-up blog there as well, and we have some original shows there. There's a Christian community that we invite you to join. And I'm Sheila English, your host. Thank you again for joining us here on Readers Entertainment Radio's In Faith Network.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment. www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.